Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Folks, I really do try to avoid pure politics on this show. I know that when I say the Pentagon's leadership is incompetent, that's a political shot, but I do have to speak to the facts. But I try very hard to avoid name-calling. And while I support almost everything President Trump has done when he was president, I wish he'd stop name-calling. Okay, now I'm going to violate my own standards and call a name. Recently, our president, Joe Biden, while speaking about both President Trump and the Israeli prime minister, used an F-bomb to describe each of them. Those are two very honorable men who are standing up for their nations at a very dangerous time in history. Mr. Biden, you're an incompetent, valueless idiot, as well as being feeble-minded. You owe both men an apology. Oh, and instead of regarding Iran as a mortal enemy, not just of the United States, but of Israel and the civilized world, you're treating Iran as an asset that must be protected. Please stop. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, any kind of hunting season going on now?
Oh, yeah, there's rabbit hunting. That's a pretty good season. I don't do much of that anymore. Rabbits are just too small for me and not worth the trouble. If we could get like some, you know, nuclear enhanced rabbits that were like 80, 90 pounds apiece, now that's a rabbit that I'm willing to hunt.
Okay, we'll have to hunt for some. Folks, keep your eyes open and let us know about that.
All righty.
Here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the mess on the southern border. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Then former Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Matt Lohmeyer will discuss the mess on our military. And Ron Vitello, who was the chief of the Border Patrol under Trump, will discuss, the southern border. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. And head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said he has ordered the military to prepare a plan to evacuate civilians from Rafah ahead of an expected Israeli invasion of the densely populated southern Gaza city. The announcement came after heavy international criticism, including from the U.S., of Israeli intentions to move ground forces into the city. Rafah borders Egypt and is now home to hundreds of thousands of people living in sprawling tent camps after fleeing fighting elsewhere in Gaza. Israel says that after over 4 months of war, Rafah is the last remaining Hamas stronghold in Gaza.
Israel is right, and they have to destroy Hamas. And why won't Egypt take the refugees? And our government's pressure on Israel is just plain wrong.
And the captain of the guided missile cruiser USS Howard was relieved of command due to a loss of confidence in his ability to perform his duties, the Navy said. Commander Cameron Dennis, who took command of the ship last September, was relieved on February 6 by the Commodore of Destroyer Squadron 15. The Navy generally does not disclose the specific reasons behind a ship's captain's firing and did not hear. Instead, the phrase loss of confidence is almost universally announced as the reason, regardless of the underlying rationales. The Navy relieved 16 commanders in 2023, 8 of whom were the captains of a warship, 2 for medical reasons. So far this year, the captain of a nuclear submarine was relieved in January after he was arrested for driving under the influence.
You know, being selected for command is very competitive, as it should be, and it was back when I was on active duty. One wonders what's wrong with the selection process. Maybe it's too woke and not merit-based? And one report was that the captain created a toxic climate, grabbed and struck crew people on duty. Touching is bad when on duty? What's the difference between sailors and Army Rangers, Green Berets, and Marines? Oh, well.
And on February 6th, Iranian-backed Houthi militants fired 6 anti-ship ballistic missiles from Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen toward the southern Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. 3 of the ASBMs were attempting to hit MV Star Nasia, a Greek-owned and operated bulk carrier transiting the Gulf of Aden. At approximately 3:20 a.m., MV Star Nasia reported an explosion near the ship, causing minor damage but no injuries. At 2 p.m., another missile impacted the water near the ship with no effect. At 4:30 p.m., USS Laboon, DDG-58, operating near MV Star Nazia, intercepted and shot down a third anti-ship ballistic missile fired by the Iranian-backed Houthis. MV Star Nazia remained seaworthy and continued toward its destination. The remaining three ASBMs were likely targeting MV Morning Tide, a UK-owned cargo ship operating in the southern Red Sea. The three missiles impacted the water near the ship without effect. Morning Tide continued its journey and reported no injuries or damage.
Iran is clearly the enemy of the civilized world and needs to be hit hard and soon.
And the United Nations says melting Arctic ice is a key indicator of climate change. But it's not melting. Climate policy based on an assumed relationship between CO2 and Arctic ice levels is problematic, say scientists. Because of increasing carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas emissions, modeling and simulations predict the Arctic will be without ice during the month of September by 2050. A similar prediction was made in 2013, but the prediction was for no ice by about 2033. Quote, all climate models are projecting an ice-free summer within the next 20 years or so. Ron Kwok, a senior research scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, said in July 2013. It's not very far away. However, a new report by Alan Jensen, research director and CEO at the Nordic Institute of Product Sustainability and Environmental Chemistry and Toxicology in Denmark, shows that from September 2007 through September 2023, Arctic sea ice declines were near zero. Meanwhile, in the third highest monthly gain in 45 years, Arctic sea ice increased by 4.63 million square miles in December 2023, according to Denmark's latest report.
And our Pentagon says that climate change is one of, if not the biggest national defense issues today. When you look at real science, not the selective stuff the global warming religion believers discuss, you'll see that global warming and climate change, or whatever they call it, is not a serious issue, period. Let's get our military back to being focused on being combat ready.
And the Supreme Court seemed skeptical of arguments made by several states that they could legally keep Donald Trump off election ballots under the Insurrection Clause of the Constitution. Conservative and liberal justices alike indicated concern over individual states deciding who can run for national office without Congress authorizing it first. They focused very little on whether January 6 represented a legal insurrection. The court has no deadline for its ruling, but the justices seem to be moving quickly. An analysis of each justice's questions indicated the eventual decision could be nearly unanimous in Trump's favor.
Our Constitution, that we veterans supported and defended, assumes that all people are innocent until proven guilty. The last time I checked, Trump was not even charged with that crime. And throughout history, I've never seen an insurrection that was so peaceful and with virtually no one armed. This is nonsense.
And a NASDAQ-listed Chinese technology company that makes parts for self-driving vehicles is threatening to sue our government after it was included in a list of companies the Pentagon says have links to the Chinese military. Asai Technologies' core product is road-sensing equipment used in passenger and commercial vehicles, autonomous driving vehicles, delivery robots, and other applications. It was among 17 companies our Defense Department recently added to its list of companies it considers Chinese military companies. The revised list also includes Megvii, a Beijing-based artificial intelligence company, and IDG Capital, a major private equity investment company with holdings in many Chinese technology companies and major Chinese energy, telecoms, and aviation companies.
China openly says its goal is to destroy our nation. We should permit zero Chinese involvement in our nation. Zero. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to assure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CVAfrontlines.com. That's CVAfrontlines.com. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with former Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Matt Lohmeyer. At ease, troops, take a break. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 80% of rape victims knew their attacker. Be careful who you let into your life. If they don't feel right to you, then don't associate with them. My experience has taught me this. When you let crazy people into your life gets crazy. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices going up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals like gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. I grew up in Southern California in the 1940s and 50s. Many farmers built facilities where Mexican immigrants, some legal, some not, could live during planting and harvesting seasons. These immigrants made more money in those two seasons than they could make all year working in Mexico. They went home to their families between the seasons. And yes, they were paid less than an American citizen would require to do the same work. This kept the cost of food down. Seemed like a win-win situation. Later, mass illegal immigration began. I don't remember why. Starting in 2016, President Trump battled the courts, Democrats, and open border folks in his party to establish a legal-only immigration. He rebuilt some of the old weak border fences. He started building his long-promised new wall. He ended the Obama-era catch-and-release policy. Would-be refugees had to apply for asylum in their home country, not once they got here. Trump got Mexican President Obrador to police his own borders and to stop permitting the transit across Mexico of millions of illegal aliens into our nation. Yes, there was general Democratic opposition to all of Trump's measures, both through Congress and the courts. In 2021, President Biden opened an inherited, secure southern border that had stopped mass illegal immigration. When he overturned Trump's efforts, a planned flood of over 8 million illegal immigrants entered our nation. Almost all arrived without background checks or health screening, but with huge needs for free housing, education, health care, and food and subsidies. They also paid the Mexican cartels to get to our border and were briefed on what to say to get in. The truth was not important here. So the cartels were getting richer, and our nation was getting overrun with people, many of whom have turned out to be criminals or terrorists. Nothing good for our nation came from this. And aren't we a nation of laws? And we do have laws about legal entry? Apparently those laws aren't important. For the first 3 years of Biden's mass invasion, the left applauded open borders. Oops, until last year, when overwhelmed southern border state governors began busing and flying illegal immigrants to northern sanctuary cities. For years, these sanctuary zones had boasted their liberality about open borders. They smeared as racist and xenophobes anybody who insisted on legal-only immigration. But now, they were subject to the real-life consequences of their own ideologies. Major blue state cities like Chicago, San Francisco, Washington, D.C. became outraged as they were inundated with tens of thousands of immigrants, all without legality, variable IDs, or background checks. Some proved violent. Others crowded out the scarce resources essential to millions of inner city poor. Many homeless U.S. veterans are ignored so the illegals can be cared for. The people who planned this nonsense are usually rich enough to be insulated from the logical consequences of their nonsense policies. Not so most people, the poor or minority constituents. They deal firsthand with spiking crime, appropriation of their parks and civic centers, restricted access to now overwhelmed social services. So the once open border Democrats are in a quandary. Now they fear mass defections of core Latinos and Black voters in an election year. And some shameless Democrats recently tried to enlist naive Republicans to bail them out with a comprehensive immigration bill. It was really designed to keep the borders wide open, spending billions more dollars to facilitate more rapid and orderly transits and more generous welfare support for the illegals. Now, Democrats, clearly not concerned with truth or logic, claim that anyone who did not agree to regulate illegal immigration was responsible for the open border policies. Huh? And yes, they next tried to link their horrible immigration bill into massive aid for Israel and Ukraine. It was a transparent effort to blame any Republicans for harming Israel and aiding Putin should they not sign on to a more efficient open border. The bill's real agenda was to prevent any return to Trump's legal-only immigration and a secure border. The simple solution requires no new legislation and almost no new spending, but it does admit that the hated Trump had solved the problem executively, and they sure can't admit to that. Fortunately, public outrage from the left and right stopped the bill. Still, it remains somewhat unclear why Biden and Homeland Security Chief Mayorkas destroyed what Trump achieved. Why would they ensure such misery for both American hosts and millions of illegal immigrants? Did they want new long-term constituents, given their neo-socialist agendas that cannot win over a majority of current Americans? Is importing millions of the poorest and most in need on the planet a way to ensure a larger, great society of entitlements, and with it, higher taxes on the filthy rich? Do they assume that America's increasingly non-election day balloting ensures far less authentication and rejection of mail-in ballots, and thus it'll be relatively easy for non-citizens to vote? Many, left and right, don't hide their desire for cheap imported labor, even though the current labor participation rate is only 62% of the potential American workforce. One might expect this nonsense from the left that's wedded to open borders, but why would some establishment Republicans aid and abet these stupid efforts? That's yet another reminder why our nation needs a leader with a logical head on his or her shoulders. Let's return to being a constitutional republic, which is a nation of law, and then follow the law. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, of course, we've all heard of the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, but what about a scout-like program for those who may be interested in the military, and specifically the U.S. Air Force? Well, that's where the Civil Air Patrol Cadet Program comes in. The Civil Air Patrol is a 501c nonprofit that serves as a civilian auxiliary to the U.S. Air Force. They not only provide aircraft and pilots to carry out non-military missions, but they also provide a youth-skilled Air Force-themed extracurricular program. CAP cadets are able to participate in a year-round program where they fly, learn to lead, hike, camp, get in shape, and even excel to new limits. The CAP cadet program currently has over 25,000 cadets throughout the United States aged between 12 and 20 years of age. Now, the program includes weekly after-school programs, a week-long encampment during the summer, and even the opportunity to train as a private pilot. In fact, about 90 cadets every single year become licensed pilots. Now, cadets do wear uniforms and a rank, and they can progress as high as cadet colonel by completing a task in each of the four focus areas of leadership, aerospace, fitness, and character. The uniforms and rank structure cause young people to see themselves as cadets, young leaders who are serious about their future. You know, many of our nation's astronauts, pilots, engineers, and scientists first explored their careers through the Civil Air Patrol. Even more important is that CAP's volunteer pilots share their love of flying with cadets. Through orientation flights in both powered aircraft and gliders, cadets get to experience flight firsthand. And while they're airborne, they even get to handle the controls during flight. Now, Civil Air Patrol pilots are licensed by the FAA and they follow a syllabus for each flight. And then, of course, they ensure the flight is conducted safely. And cadets can even get orientation flights in military aircraft. And the best part, all of these orientation flights are completely free to cadets. So if you have a youth between the ages of 12 and 18 years of age and you're interested in learning more about the cadet program, check out www.gocivilairpatrol.com and you can find out more information. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Roland, you're amazing. I really enjoy and appreciate your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with former Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Matt Lohmeyer. Then we'll discuss our southern border. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some wind sprints. Do them for a couple of miles, then stand at ease.
Military leaders have called our national debt the greatest threat facing America, and for good reason. We're more than $32 trillion in debt and counting.
Meanwhile, Congress continues to throw money at the Pentagon and Veterans Affairs with no idea if the money is reaching its intended targets.
Concerned Veterans for America fights for more responsible spending from Washington so Americans remain safe and prosperous in the future.
Visit cbafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cbafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show former Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Matt Lohmeyer. He's been a guest on the show before. Matt and I have been friends for a while, and we both see the military, although from different perspectives, we sort of be seeing the same thing. Matt was on active duty, doing really well, in my opinion. Nobody wants to brag about themselves. He was certainly in line for a very senior rank if he'd kept in. But suddenly, he got thrown out. I don't know if you stepped out because you didn't want to put up the pressure or whether you were forced out. But Matt, you were a lieutenant colonel in the Space Force. You were a squadron commander, and suddenly you weren't. So welcome, brother. Glad to have you back.
Thanks for having me, Denny.
Tell us a story, Matt. When and why did you join the Air Force, and what'd you do? Yeah. And give us that overview.
I joined initially by signing up to go to the Air Force Academy and was recruited to play basketball there. Ended up graduating from there and flying jets for the Air Force. And a little bit after that, ended up transferring into what was then Air Force Space Command and did space-based missile warning and was a shoo-in when the new branch of the military, the U.S. Space Force, was created in December of 2019, and spent time in the Space Force and subsequently became the first veteran of the Space Force, but have 1,200 hours and a couple of different jets, both as a T-38 instructor pilot as well as an F-15C single-seat air-to-air fighter pilot, and then spent time as well in Washington, D.C., quite a bit of time for a year as General Jay Raymond's aide-de-camp, as the Trump-Pence administration was discussing with the Pentagon the stand-up of a new branch of the military, the Space Force.
Okay. And then you got it in you to write a book, as I recollect, an interesting book.
I had it in me, I suppose, but I didn't want to write a book. I had tried to use my chain of command to solve what I viewed as what was undoubtedly and irrefutably the overt politicization of the military workplace. And by politicization, predominantly, I mean left-wing politicization of the military workplace. And I tried to use my chain of command to find out that they both agreed with my concerns, but felt powerless to do anything about it, despite stars on their shoulders. They were concerned that they'd be labeled something awful, like racist or alt-right or any of those other derisive terms that have been invented to shame people into political conformity. And so they felt like they were powerless in the climate of fear that we had created to hold political activists accountable for left-wing politics. So I filed a formal written Inspector General's complaint. Unfortunately for me and for the Air Force and Space Force, that complaint was filed at a time in which there was great debate over the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. And so that complaint about anti-American, radical left-wing political activism in the military workplace was disregarded and ultimately dismissed by leaders of the Space Force. And so not being able to either use my chain of command or the Inspector General's system to create positive change in the workplace, I wrote a book about it. And that book ultimately very quickly after it was published. It got me fired from my command in the Space Force. And several months later, I separated without my pension in the fall of 2021.
That is quite a story. And I'll tell you the one thing that truly, that one part of it, that it's the part that attracted me to you as somebody I wanted to be a friend with, was the fact that you started by doing the chain of command thing. You were a commander. Yeah. You saw bad things, in your opinion, happening. You went to your leadership. You sought to correct it by working within the system, because that's how we solve most of the problems in the military, right?
It is the way in which, even despite the troubling times that we now live in, and things have gotten worse since I've separated, our active duty or any uniform wearing service member needs to approach their problems. They should approach their chain of command respectfully, despite how difficult that may seem or feel. And I'll make one point of clarification. It wasn't just me that was perceiving a politicization of the workplace. I had my troops in my own unit coming to me and complaining about the divisive impact of diversity and inclusion trainings that were being forced on the base where I happened to be stationed. And it wasn't just at my base. It turned out to be everywhere else in the military. I had troops telling me that they were choosing to get out. And that was true regardless of their politics or regardless of their race or ethnicity. And that was unacceptable. So I brought those concerns to my chain of command, saying that we were wrecking morale and undermining good order and discipline. And they agreed with that, but felt, again, powerless to do anything about it, which isn't true. It's just what they felt.
Well, they elected not to
push
it up. You know, people who were working for me when I was on active duty, if they had a problem and that I could impact on and they didn't bring it to me, I told them that's a good way to get in trouble.
Right.
You know, that's what I expect you to do. That's how we work together. And so, therefore, you're supposed to have and it takes courage to push it up on your boss. But that's how it happens. And you expect him or her to do the same thing. And when that doesn't happen, you can do the appeal thing, which is frankly intimidating to do. But that's set up in the system. It's supposed to work right. That way. And a lot of problems are solved that way, aren't they?
They are. As a leader, ideally, you want candid, respectful feedback from those that work for you. And I was getting that both unsolicited at first, and then later, because I was asking for it, from my troops. And the senior military leaders, ideally, should want that candid and respectful feedback from those who are in command under them. And unfortunately, because of our climate and because of politics, we're really shying away from the kind of candid feedback that is required, that is being given by our service members. In fact, they're giving that feedback, as is evidenced in our recruiting and retention numbers at the moment. And we literally have thousands of voices speaking up and saying what they found so off-putting and reprehensible about some of our current policy decisions, our cultural shifts. But there is an ideologically driven agenda afoot that seems to be rendering all politically compliant senior military leaders incapable of having either the interest or the will to make the necessary course corrections.
Yes, I agree with that. And the challenge is, as awkward as that is here, if we were in combat and they wouldn't make those decisions, they wouldn't fight uphill or whatever, then people die.
Right.
And,
right.
And the only reason to have a military is to kill people and break things. And if we're really good at it, nobody messes with it. That's called deterrence.
Mm-hmm.
We're not combat ready. And that certainly includes the training of the junior people, but also the attitude and leadership of the senior people. We're not combat ready, and we're as vulnerable as we could possibly be. Do you see it that way too?
I do. And look no further than, you know, one of the points of evidence of our lack of readiness. You know, it's not just in reports that the Heritage Foundation, for example, puts out every year saying, hey, we rate the United States military as weak and incapable of waging a serious conflict on any front. It's not that. It's the fact that, as you pointed out, our deterrence seems to be failing. And when we've got a strong military presence and a strong economy, both indicators of a nation's might or power in the international system. We have a relatively successful deterring conflict on the world stage, but take a look at the headlines in the past several months and you'll see that the world seems to perceive the United States as weaker and weaker, and therefore there's greater agitation, there's violence against U.S. service members abroad and our allies, and there's greater international unrest. People are pursuing aims, policy aims in their countries with their neighbors that they otherwise haven't felt free to pursue because we've had a relatively stable world order until very recently, and that's collapsing at the moment.
There's more to discuss about the status of our military. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, many days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Lieutenant Colonel Matt Lohmeyer on the challenge that our military is facing now. Matt, you were discussing some of the challenges that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Pick that up and talk about that some more.
Well, one of the primary factors that is hurting our readiness, that is distracting us in the military workplace, is whether it's overt or direct or indirect, is our de-emphasis on merit and our emphasis on what we're calling diversity, equity, and inclusion. And those things are not compatible, merit, that is, or a meritocracy system, and diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we just had the Air Force, I read earlier today in an article, the Air Force say it was instituting allyship trainings, allyship training, all of the progressive agendas, woke agendas, so-called, use terms like ally, comrade, which are also communist or Marxist terms. But we've got the Air Force providing allyship trainings, it says, because it's hoping to improve innovation, as if allyship, whatever that means to the military troop, has anything at all to do with innovation. And what they mean by that is more focus on diversity. And by diversity, and according to DEI definitions, they're talking about race-based quotas. They're not talking about the naturally occurring diversity of thought that is a consequence of a society that values free speech. They're talking about inclusion, and by inclusion, they mean forced exclusion of white males, quite frankly, white conservative males. And they're talking about equity, which is a forced equality of outcomes. And none of those things lead to innovation. None of those things lead to creativity. They lead to a conformity of thinking, and it's a party line, kind of a political conformity. And so when we de-emphasize merit, and we emphasize other things, any other things, and in this case, DEI, what we see is that we're distracted. We establish quotas, and then we don't have the best people in the jobs. And when we don't have the best people in the jobs, instead of killing people and breaking things, as you put it, we start to break ourselves, and our machines are breaking, our readiness is breaking, our recruitment is breaking. We have the wrong priorities in place. And whether or not your average service member is able to put their finger on it, they feel it. They feel it in the military workplace. They feel it every time they listen to their senior leaders talk about whatever the political talking point of the week is.
Yeah. You know, and when I get into conversations like this, I'm fond of saying, gee, if you were getting ready to have eye surgery and there were two eye doctor groups, one was focused, they bragged about their great diversity and DEI, and the other one focused on meritocracy, which one would you pick for your eye surgery?
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
And didn't I hear that we've got airlines now deciding to hire pilots based on that? Have I heard that at all?
Yeah, that's true. In fact, there were some videos and pictures of the United Airlines CEO, whose name I can't remember at the moment. It's Scott something, who's an Air Force Academy graduate, by the way. He was dressed in drag and crawling around on a stage in drag. And he was in several interviews talking about establishing diversity motivated race and gender quotas for those who work in the cockpits of his planes at United, so that he can ensure that at least half, he said 50%, at least half of those in the cockpit were either female or people of color. Those were his words. And so, you know, if you're like me, I'm rather disinterested in supporting United Airlines at the moment, but it's not just United Airlines that talks that way. What's more outrageous to me than that you've got an idiot like Scott, the CEO of United, doing that kind of thing, because anymore it seems all too common, is that shortly after the online kerfuffle that ensued as a result of those pictures and videos and interviews, is that my alma mater and his alma mater, the U.S. Air Force Academy, invited the United CEO to come and speak at the end of this month at its National Character and Leadership Symposium, as if he's got some really great leadership lessons that they hope he will impart to the future officers of the United States Air Force. The Air Force Academy also invited in its speaker lineup the recently promoted to colonel trans activist Colonel Bree Fram. Used to be a man, still is, incidentally, but is now claiming he's a woman. The Space Force is propping this person up as if they love what this guy is doing, but he's got a mental health problem. And I don't doubt that he's been talented in his career. I'm not saying he's not been, but they've propped him up as a kind of icon. And now he's being invited to speak at our military service academies. I just don't quite understand that logic. And I'll tell you, it's not helping our recruitment and retention problems one bit when the American people catch wind of that kind of stuff. So the unfortunate reality is you have to draw attention to the ugliness, because you can't solve problems unless you're talking about them. But every time you draw attention to the problems, it further disincentivizes the American people from wanting to have anything to do with their military.
Well, I talk to a lot of youngsters about, among other things, joining the military. And my advice right now is don't.
Right.
If you really feel God is telling you to do it, then do whatever he tells you to do.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you're not at that point, wait a few years.
Right.
That's my advice. Not everybody takes it, but I can't with good intentions and good competency recommend this to anybody. I can't.
I'm exactly where you are. I've thought a lot about this. I have to ask myself, honestly, would I be willing to go serve right now? The answer is I'm interested in service, just not in the U.S. military at the moment. Would I be willing to allow my son or my daughter to join the U.S. military? The answer is, I shouldn't say the words that are coming to my mind. The answer is no to that question. And so how can I, in good conscience, recommend to any young man or woman that they serve in the military at the moment? Well, I say, if God is calling you to that, then let's help you go in with your eyes wide open so that you can be a force for good. Otherwise, I'd say, stay away.
Yes. And that, so we say the same thing. And how can our nation not be on a very slippery slope? I believe we are still a free nation and a prosperous nation, but we're moving in the wrong direction, and we're moving pretty fast. And
yeah,
we have to take care of this country God's given us. It's our responsibility as the citizens to be good stewards, isn't it?
It is. I agree with that. I think people can serve at the local level. I'll make one point to share where I disagree. I'd like to believe that we are still a free and prosperous nation. However, I'm wondering if what appears to be the relative freedom and prosperity that we currently enjoy is nothing but us still living on the fruits of what was once a free and prosperous nation, because the fruits are still there for the picking. We live off of the abundance of yesterday, but just like you said, and I agree with this very much, we are so much down the slippery slope at the moment that we haven't yet fully appreciated the ways in which our current decisions, our current policy decisions, and our current cultural transition is going to impact us as a nation in the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, from our legal immigration and invasion problem to military culture problems to public education, especially the economy. All of those problems compounded right now are teeing up a disaster for us in the next 5 and 10 years that we've not yet fully appreciated. But we do get to live, I like you, live in a relatively free and prosperous local community. I'm grateful for that. And I sometimes wonder if it's not the fruits of yesterday.
You know, that's a very, very valid perspective. Wow. Matt, we're about to wrap it up. Give us your final thought. And in your final thought, mention your book and how people can get it.
Okay. Yeah, if you haven't yet read my book, I'd recommend it. I don't recommend people spend their time reading something lightly, but my book is Irresistible Revolution, Marxism's Goal of Conquest and the Unmaking of the American Military. It's available on Amazon and on my website, MatthewLohmeyer.com. Also, I'd say if you're dispirited, I understand, but if you feel called at all to get involved, even if you don't feel like it's possible for you to do that at the federal or national level, it's possible to do that at the local level. You can get politically involved, socially involved in ways that can help retain culture and, in some cases where it's needed, reverse or change your culture to something that is more lovely and beautiful. And we all understand that this great nation was built on certain principles that we should hold dear and can advocate for in the public sphere.
Brother, thank you. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thank you for taking time today. Thank you for continue to be working for and fighting for our nation. I'm glad we're brothers.
Thank you, Denny.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Ron Vitello. He's very concerned about our southern border and involved. Then General Chris Petty will cover the battle of the month. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.